This is a Defocus Media production.
This is Lunch Date with Rachel and Kate, a Defocus Media production. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Kate. Sorry, I've been singing a lot more. My patients can't tell that I'm smiling behind my mask, which is fine. I'd much rather have them not be able to tell that I'm smiling, but I sing my responses a little bit more frequently so that they can tell my joy.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
When I went into the office the other day, one of the techs was like, I'm smiling. You can't tell, but I'm smiling. I'm glad you're here. And I was like, I'm smiling too. A lot of them didn't know who I was because I looked like such a scrub.
It happens.
Yeah.
I do wear scrubs now, so.
I'm excited to start.
I really like mine, so I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do something edgy at work.
Okay.
I'm going to wear jogger scrubs. Typically right now, we have full-length cover-your-ankle scrubs.
Uh-huh.
Very conservative. Cover your ankles. Those are unsightly beasts, which I need to tell you about my ankles in a bit. But I got jogger scrubs.
I think those are so cute.
I do too. And they go down the whole length of my leg. You just see my side ankle bone. That's all you see. And then you just see my shoes.
What kind of shoes?
I have these maroon Under Armour shoes right now.
Darling.
So everybody in the office is supposed to wear black shoes, but I don't have any black shoes, and I didn't want to just like buy black shoes. And so I started just wearing my maroon ones, and they have black in it. It's like a maroon black heather. And nobody said anything. So I wear them every day.
Perfect.
And since what we're trying to do is I take off my scrubs every day when I come home, and I take a shower, just like rinse off my body just to get any particles off, and then wash my scrubs every night. And so I leave my shoes by the door so that they just don't get traipsed through the house. So I just wear the same shoes every day.
Perfect.
Just, yeah. So yeah. Oh, but about my ankle, I'm so sorry. Lots of stories at the moment. So back at work, I'm back in the thick of it. Not really in the thick of anything, but working with a patient. She's kind of she's got nystagmus, she's got a hypertropia, we've got a lot of things going on.
And refer.
Well, except I was the referral.
Oh no, okay.
Yeah, they were all like, she knows BV.
Yeah, you do.
Which is fine, but wow, we learned a lot of things about ourselves and the world. So I am moving my ankle. I'm moving my foot over. And I just got a new pair of glasses, and so I'm getting used to my progressive there a little bit. Whacked my ankle on the footrest. It was one of those where I was either going to pass out or throw up, you know? Like, it just hurt into my stomach so bad. It was not great. So I go, all right, we're going to take a peek at those eyeballs now. Swing my slit lamp over and just, like, I just stare. I pretend like I'm focusing for a long time because I'm just trying to get my breathing back in order. And so I, like, look at everything, and I walk out, and my ankle's, like, purple. It was so nasty looking.
Oh, no.
And then over time, it was right – my last patient before lunch. Hallelujah. And so I came home because I was by the office by the house. I iced my ankle. The purple went away, but it has been sore. I think I, like, hit the bone so hard because I have really bony ankles that it just, like, it, like, will be sensitive for a while. So, yeah. Please be careful as you go back to work and you figure out your space again, because you're going to – don't whack yourself.
Yeah, I will. I will try. I have an ankle issue as well.
Tell me
more. One of my ankles is like really tanner than the other one, and I didn't know why. And I figured out that it's because when I sit down to dinner, I always sit crisscross applesauce, and that ankle is always the one touching the chair. So I just have like this weird callus on my ankle.
What?
And it's like I need to stop doing that. My body is telling me, sit with your feet on the ground. I'm doing it right now.
Feet on the ground. As I tell my sister, booty on the chair, feet on the ground. That's how we eat our dinner.
Somebody should have told that to me.
Yeah. Well, hers is more like she's has one butt cheek on, one bit cheek off, like ready to run into the other room. So, so this could be a good segue into our topic. So I go on walks, I go on a 4.5 mile walk. I tried during COVID when I was at home every other day. And I still try to. I've had more allergies have really hit me lately, and I've had some more headaches.
Me too.
So.
For me, it's oak. Do you know what yours is?
No, but it makes me not happy, whatever it is. It could be, we have just a lot of like flowers and trees blooming. Like, I think it's a cottonwood tree, and it's those big white flowers, and they're
making my eyes itch just to think about it.
Yeah. So whenever I come upon somebody that's walking, I like go out into the grass almost to the edge of the street because I'm like, okay, let's get 6 feet of distance. I'm about 6 feet tall. I'm like, okay, so if I laid down,
Mm-hmm.
I feel especially like I feel bad. I don't feel bad. I know it sounds bad, but I don't feel bad when it's another woman because she knows, like, I'm not avoiding her because she's a woman.
Yeah.
But when I come upon somebody that doesn't look like me, I feel more, I don't feel guilty doing it, but I just want to be like, I'm not avoiding you because of who you are. I'm just avoiding you because you could have sickness. And so it's like, I just want them to know that, like, I love them for who they are as a person, but I just don't want to get any of their germs.
I totally get that. I feel that way because I wear a mask when I'm out and like, I'll usually just like put it down if no one's around. But when somebody comes up, I'll put it up. But I don't want them to think that I think that they're sick. But it's like,
you don't know if I'm sick. What
the mask does is it's protecting them.
Yeah. So I'm always like, and I think people get it. And I think in, like in stores and stuff, like if I see somebody coming down an aisle, I'll just go to the next aisle. Like I do stuff like that so that I can kind of just keep more distance. And I feel like I want to spend more time like talking to my community in stores of people that I haven't met. Mm-hmm. Like in St. Louis, I did that all the time.
Would just talk like, to strangers.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's just because it's more of a city atmosphere and that's okay. Like, you know, I'd be in the aisle and somebody would be looking for something. I was like, hey, have you seen? And I would like, and they'd be like, oh yeah, it's right over here.
Yeah.
I haven't tried it here. Maybe I should try it here. Maybe. Even with mask on. I should try it.
Yeah. They'd probably love it if you talk to them. They'd be like, who is this gorgeous woman talking to me? I want to be her friend.
Well, it's usually Midwest nice. So they're like, oop, I gotcha. Come on over here. Yeah.
What did I say the other day where my accent came out so hard? Oh, it was Fard Taurus. My first car was a Fard Taurus. That's more like St. Louis than Midwestern, but like.
Yeah, that's a very.
Highway Farty Fire.
Like, we.
Pass me the park. I'm gonna go wash the dishes.
There's like, every once in a while, there'll be things, and I'm like, why do I do this? Like, and it's definitely who I am. But what I wanted, like, I think this is a good segue to a topic, is because, like, in my workplace, I want to make sure that we have such diverse and unique people because I don't want anybody to think that they're not being accepted as a patient because of who they are, gender, race, religion, sexual orientation, or otherwise, because I want them to all feel included. And so I want my staff to reflect that of like my intentions of like loving on people and including a diverse population in who I treat and who I get to be a good doctor for. So
our topic today is diversity and inclusion in the workplace. And what's on the menu, Kate?
Okay. So this one I thought a lot about. I've been doing a lot of thinking lately, but this one especially.
Well, you got that big old brain.
I know. I need to downsize it. My head's getting heavy. Just kidding. I was thinking about what is a dish that's like kind of seen throughout all cultures, all places, all throughout the world. And rice is found in almost every culture, is a part of like a lot of people's like dishes that are just a part of home food and like cooking and things. And it's such a, you can make so many different types and spices and flavors. And there's like so many different kinds of rice. Like you don't go to the store and you'd be like, I just want rice. Like you have to pick out of so many different kinds and opportunities. And each one brings its own unique like abilities. And so I just thought rice would be a good dish today.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah. And I have a lot of rice right now because we're back off of Whole 30. We're off of Whole 30 and we had a lot of rice built up. And so now we have to eat it. So I also saw it in my pantry today.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's kick this off. When you and I were talking about doing this topic, we were pretty cautious because we didn't want to look like just two apparently white women talking about like, how do you create diversity? Mm-hmm. And we didn't want to reinvent the wheel when there are so many, the dog is drinking.
That's okay.
When there are so many excellent resources from people of color who are experts in this field when we are not experts in this field. Mm-mm. We want to do this the right way. And we know that we're not, you and I aren't perfect. We're not going to get this exactly right, but we're going to try and point towards resources that get it righter than we get it.
Yeah.
So some of those experts that whose pages I was looking at were Ezine Quaberry.
Uh-huh.
And she's the head of inclusion and diversity for H&M. And
awesome.
Then I was looking at Candace Morgan, who is at Pinterest. And then another resource that I was looking at just to get it out of the way. Was 15 Ways to Improve Diversity and Inclusion in the Workplace by Chirong Chow from Employee Experience and Future Work on socialchorus.com.
Oh, cool.
So those are just a few of them, but also there are a lot of classes on Coursera in this topic. So
yeah. So Rachel, I know you've been doing research to kind of figure out how companies do this well.
Tell me
what you found.
Well, one thing that I found is a lot of companies will hire a diversity and inclusion leader or expert after they've really screwed up. But it would be great if we could not have to do it as a reaction to making a huge mistake if we were already prioritizing that we wanted to see diversity and inclusion in our workplaces. We would have more perspectives and more feedback on the things that we were doing. We would have more collaboration, and then maybe we wouldn't make those mistakes and have to beg for forgiveness. Rather, we would be leaders.
Yeah. When I was a Strengths Quest, so when I did a lot of work with Strengths Quest, it talks about building on your strengths rather than your weaknesses. And so one thing that was really interesting that they talked about is when you build a team, you need to have a diversity of strengths on it, because that way you're not going to lose out. You could have a whole bunch of people. There's different sets of function, like kind of there's an executive kind of strengths where you just are really good at making action. There's relationship building, strategic thinking, and influencing. Yeah. So like, which of these, you know, if you have a bunch of influencing, but you don't have much in executing, like you can talk to a bunch of people and you can change a bunch of people's mind, but if you don't have action for them, so like, you know, or strategic thinking, like you'll have a great strategy, but if you can't get it done, or you relationship building, you don't like have relationships, that plan doesn't work as well. So you've got to have a diversity of strengths in there. Having the diversity of strength applies into our backgrounds and how we view the world, not just only just, you know, keep you from making a mistake or causing offending or anything.
So Pinterest has a diversity and inclusion leader, Candace Morgan. Mm-hmm. So one of the problems that people using Pinterest were having is that they would get recommendations that just didn't apply to them. Like if you look for hair care, maybe it just doesn't match you. So she put like a, how do I describe this? It's like you can pick your skin tone on Pinterest so that you don't have to write down like 100 search terms to find what you need. Mm-hmm. It's an option.
Yeah, and it's rather than having to put a lot of qualifiers on it, you know, you can kind of just be like, okay, this is me and this is what I'm kind of looking for.
Yeah, and this is available to you. We recognize that you're a valuable user, and so we're making it easy for you.
Why not create more opportunities for people to feel accepted within that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not allow for representation? Like,
yeah.
Like, make people feel welcome.
Yeah. Exactly. Because there's one thing to be able to say, well, we want to include all people, but then not welcome them into that space. Well, as we, you know, in companies, you have a mission statement and a value, mm-hmm. and value statements, and then your vision statement. And in a lot of vision statements, it says, I want to include, you know, I want to create this accessible for everyone in the world, you know, mm-hmm. or like, I want all people to be able to use this service.
And like, what does representation do? People say it all the time about like seeing people that look like them on TV. It's like, oh, I didn't know that someone who looked like me could do that.
It's so important, you know? I mean, I've had a lot of opportunity to see people like me do big things. And
We need to look at organizations from the top down. Like, who are the leaders? Who's on the boards? Like, are you listening to the ideas of everyone?
So I'm on the board of League of Women Voters in Wichita. And I'm helping to do some online advocacy efforts and like videos and some unique things, because I've just had really great opportunities to create webinar, you know, to be a part of webinars and see different things. And one that we had a big event coming up that we're just not able to put on. And I said, well, let's just do this online. Like, I have a great way that we can do this online. There's all this. And then they go, but is this that effective in this community? Like, is this community, like, we need to connect with them to see if this is something that's going to be accessible for their community. Because we can create this content, but if it's not accessible for those people, and a lot of that population, it was opportunities for immigration lawyers to be present so that people can ask their questions about changing gender on driver's licenses and voter registration and things of that nature for our transgender population. Looking at how to create translating documents and things of that nature, so it's better understood throughout lots of populations. And I was just so thankful because I was so excited. I was like, man, we can do all these cool things with it. And then they brought us back. Like, we have such a diverse group of people that are working on things. Mm-hmm. So they said, nope, we got to bring it back to how is this going to impact that community? And can we do good things online impacting that community? Or do we need to do something different? Like, what does that look like best for them? What is most effective? And so that was really cool. And I think that's something that we need to do in our workplaces as well. Because how easy is it to say, oh, we want to do this or that, and then we don't know how that's going to connect with people.
Yeah.
Because what I look at my Instagram feed every day, because I see it more often, is going to be what feeds my mind more frequently. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to fill it with people that are creating impacts in their community to create more equality efforts, especially between race. And so one that I have found that has been really awesome is called Be the Bridge. And the Instagram handle is Be a Bridge Builder. And so it talks, and so they're kind of two sentence, mission statement is, we empower people and culture towards racial healing, equality, and reconciliation. So how to respond and how to be a bridge between different races, religions, and different things of that nature. And so it's really awesome because it has a lot of really great resources. So they have a course, like a series right now. It's like how to respond when you are called out. So how to respond instead of react. So
To just be like gracious instead of like, well, you're wrong, I'm fine.
Yeah. And so they have some really good things. It says how to be an anti-racist person who's committed to reconciliation. So some really great stuff that I've just been able to kind of learn and understand. And then some other, there's been, Read Like a Rockstar. It's a teacher, Naomi O'Brien. She is all about how to empower African Americans in the school system. If you're trying to teach your kids to be anti something, you need to be direct and intentional about exactly what you're trying to teach them. So she's being really her word intentional, she uses a lot, which is awesome. And so she's doing culturally culturally responsive education, which is super. It's been just really great to learn and understand more. And I want to be able to be a person that is empathetic. Mm-hmm. I just want to use this podcast as more as an opportunity to recognize that we have an audience that might not know a lot about these things. And so pointing them into directions and just calling a moment to say, hey, stop and think about this yourself.
Yeah. And we have an audience that cares about these things.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, I joke that there are only 12 of you, but you're the most amazing 12 people ever.
Yeah. And I hope that there's more than 12 of you. And that they just continue to grow.
I'd rather have 12 people that I love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm down with that too. But I just really, I really want you to, I think the goal of this episode is,
I think, sorry to interrupt.
No, interrupt.
Just briefly, but I like that we're struggling with this because it's hard. Yeah. And I think it's good to display that.
Yeah. It's not, I just want to do so many things to make the world a better place. And I want to do that cautiously and with just pure intentions in my heart. And so I think the goal of this podcast is when you look at who you're surrounding yourself with, take a look at that. Right now, I have seen, I easily will gravitate towards that people that believe the same things as me, politically, emotionally, religion-wise, everything. But that doesn't help me grow or become a person that can help others, can help others rise. So I just encourage you from this podcast to see how you're surrounding yourself and challenge yourself to be in situations where you might find discomfort, because when you're in this uncomfortable space of trying to figure this out, I feel my most growth.
Mm, that's really good. I think about how this applies to the workplace, like for optometry practices and things like that. And really, to me, what it kind of comes down to is human resources, uh-huh. and you know, we don't have human resource departments in a lot of optometry places, and it's something that we kind of have to do on our own. Uh-huh. So we have to think, like, what environment are we creating in our workforces or our workplaces that promotes a diverse mm-hmm. or allows a diverse workplace? Like, are we giving people off for the holidays they need? Are we allowing them to wear the outfits that they need to wear? Like, are we allowing people to speak in different languages? Like, are we allowing people of all ages to work there? Like, what are we creating? Are we making people feel welcome? Mm-hmm. Are we just doing what makes us comfortable, or what are we trying to do, basically?
Mm-hmm. No, and I think also when we're looking at hiring, is where are you advertising? Find ways to reach out to other people.
Yeah. It's such a good idea to do like a blind resume thing where you have somebody take off the like name and demographic information. Not that they put that on there, but if they just take off any identifiers so that you can just review a resume without any of your own biases.
Yeah. No, and I think that's important, in especially as we're in kind of a time where many of people have lost their jobs due to COVID, and that there's most likely going to be rehiring surges as things open back up and there's different needs in different spaces. Use this time to be intentional. Like, this gives you a really awesome reset button that you get to kind of recheck on things. So be intentional about that.
Mm. You had such a good story about your interactions with somebody who has completely different political views than you in the workplace. Yeah. And you were so wonderful about it.
And maybe this is a way to kind of like, you can figure out, or even if you do have somebody like this, you can kind of figure out ways to work with them. You can continue to use that. But like, I had a coworker that asked me, are you going to get the vaccine for COVID when it comes out? And I said, yeah, I'm going to get the vaccine. And she's like, oh my gosh, are you serious? Are you going to get the Bill Gates vaccine?
What? I said, conspiracy theorist.
I said, the Bill Gates vaccine. Yeah, they save people all over the world. They're working on clean drinking water and clean sanitation and hygiene for people. And just like, they, you know, take vaccines everywhere. Like, they have leading experts on this. Yeah, duh. Like, they've got the best of the best. Of course I'll get it. She's like, even with the tracker in it?
Holy cow.
And I said, there's a tracker in it? I said, whoa. I said, is that technology real right now? I said, I want to learn so much more about it. That's insane. That is so cool. I said, if you can make a tracker that is that small, that it can go through a needle head and you don't see it in a clear vial, like, I'm down. Like, I'm so down. Like, that is incredible. Yeah. You know, because I was like, I have never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I mean, I just heard this.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, that would just be so cool. I'd love to be a guinea pig for that, because, like, that's awesome. And I said, I've just never heard anything like that.
Yeah.
I said, and my dad and brother work in tech, and they haven't talked about anything getting that small. And so I just think that'd be super cool. Yeah. And so I said, well, they can track me from my house to Target to work. Like, I mean, I don't go many places. I said, if they want to track me, like, go for it. Like, I, you know, whatever that's bringing, like, that's obviously got some cool stuff for a future. Like, yeah. And she goes, what if it might track your thoughts? And I said, they can track your thoughts? I was like, that is the most incredible technology I've ever heard of in my life. I was like, sign me up. Like, no, literally, like, I'm literally also very honest about this. Like, sign me up. Like, that would be so cool. Like, if they can figure out how to track my thoughts, maybe they can help me organize them. That would be nice. And so.
That's great. Because you, like, you made her think that, like, maybe what I'm thinking isn't true. But you weren't that's not true, you big dumb idiot.
Yeah, and I'm, like, dead serious about this all. Like, I really am. Like, if that well, you is know there, it's like, not I
real. Would,
yeah, I know. But if it is, like, if they can give me one of these things and I can learn about it, like, that'd be so cool to learn about. Like, if I can get some good, solid research and data on that, like, if we can go through some studies, shoot, like, give me the literature. I want to read up on it.
Yeah, because, like, that's the thing. That's, like, you provide me with the literature because I am interested. Yeah, you've got me on the hook, but there's no way this person could provide you with any literature.
No, and then she said, well, I follow some conspiracy theorists. And I said, oh, okay. You know, and I said, oh, okay. I said, yeah, that makes sense, like, how that would kind of come about there. But, I mean, with all of it, like, if this is true, like, so cool. I'd love to see data. I'd love to see stuff on it. Because, like, if this is true, like, this is, there's so much more in this world. And, like, I'm all about learning. I really am. And, like, they know that all about, I talk about books that I read all the time. And, like, things that I want to learn. And, like, cool facts that I've learned. And, like, I was like, yeah, no, I want to learn more. Like, please. Like, I really do. Like, I really want to learn more. Like, this is, none of this is sarcasm. Like, I try to be so unsarcastic in all of this. Because, really, like, I'd love to know more. I just want to take, like, I just want to take this podcast and just show that, like, you can learn new things. And if somebody has different ideas from you, the one thing that I did learn from Brené Brown that has, like, really helped me is, like, tell me more. Like, just tell me more, because I want to understand. And so, I mean, I struggled with this because I wanted to bring people on to the podcast that could be able to share good things. And I'm so excited because we have a lot of people that we've connected with that we're going to bring onto the podcast here in the future that come from all different backgrounds. But I didn't want to just, Rachel and I, we really talked a lot about, we just didn't want to bring somebody on just for the sake of just having someone that's different than us. And this could not be the right way to do it either. And I'll be honest. And if you message us and you say, hey, I really think you should have had someone on there, great. We're going to do a follow-up and we'll bring somebody on here that can teach us more. But this is more of a bringing an awareness about bringing your awareness to something that we need to focus on in our profession.
Okay, I think we did the best we could. What are our takeaways and action items?
So first of all, my takeaway is I continually need to surround myself with more different people. And so I'm really doing that intentionally on Instagram and Facebook right now, but I need to also do an audit of who I hang out with most in my daily life, because I need to bring people with different ideas in on our daily life, you know, daily life. And really just find opportunities to connect with people that are different from me. Well, that's my action item. Two, my takeaway is, this is hard and good and all in one.
Yeah.
Like, it's just hard and good all in one. That's my takeaway. What is yours?
My takeaway is never stop learning, expose yourself to new experiences, be open, be willing. And this is all pointed at me, like, don't close yourself off to new ideas. My action item is seeking out new and different ideas and promoting the ones that I think need to be promoted.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
So I know, Doreen, we're all getting back into kind of our COVID world, kind of, you know, post-world kind of opening back up of the world again. So if you need anything from us or you're concerned, let us know. Congrats to all 2020 grads.
Oh, oh my gosh. Congrats to all of you. Good. So proud. This was a hard thing.
Yeah. You can do it. You can do hard things. Yeah. And you were courageous during this time and so proud.
Oh, also, if anybody's got a topic idea for us, like if this sparks an interest in you, or if anything we ever say makes you want to hear more, let us know and we can follow up with it either on a podcast or on our socials.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
And if you want to tell us we're doing real bad, go right ahead. We'll listen. We'll probably cry.
Oh, 100%.
And we'll try and do better.
100%. Yeah. I will cry. Like, not even I frustrate cry, and it's not you, it's me that I frustrate over. And then, so as we open, you know, as we do things, but with 2020 grads, I've had several people reach out to me about negotiation and averages and things of that nature, and continue to reach out to us. We'd love to help because we both had a lot of negotiations. I've had three people that have emailed/texted me or messaged me back and said, hey, your advice works. Here's how much I increased. And so the only way that we're going to close a wage gap is if we do it all together.
Yeah.
That's the only way that we're going to do this. So keep negotiating. And even when it's hard.
Hopefully you can expect to hear our research or see it soon. We're in another round of revisions, which are much nicer this time. However, they do make me want to jump off my balcony.
Yeah, but don't, please.
I won't. I think my precious legs, that ankle can't handle it.
No, no. Mm. It does have a good callus, though. So if you fall on that ankle, there will be less destruction.
I think I'll be okay.
Yeah. But not my ankle. It's not going to last long.
Your brittle bird-like ankle.
Yeah. I don't know what I did to this one. keep growing, keep learning, keep loving. Until next time.
Bye.